To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Football Monday continues. The Bills over the Bengals yesterday in the snow. 39-34. You know, that might be a question for Sal. I don't know. Is it interesting? So we were not at the game and Sal was on the field. And for most of the game, I would say you saw snow steadily, you know, flying by.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it on the field. How snowy was it really?
How much of an impact did it have on the game?
Yeah, maybe that can be a little bit of an illusion when you see that, because I'm not sure it was that much of a factor or that, much of an obstacle for players.
Guys, I would say it had very little impact on the game itself, other than the footing at some cases, like you saw Ty Johnson slip, right? It felt like he just couldn't completely get his footing on that early run. Mm-hmm. And then there were other times where you saw the choppiness of wide receivers on their routes. But I don't think it really – there's nothing coming out of this game where I think either team said, you know, if it wasn't for the weather, right, if it wasn't for the snow, something like that. And, like, look at all the points that were scored, right? So they generally say, and I agree with this, when you have a wet field, a snowy field, the advantage does go to the offense because they know where they're going. The defense doesn't. And I do think the Bills did a really good job of misdirection. I'm not saying it was because of that necessarily. I think in this game, that can help you a lot when you have some play action, some misdirection, because you're going to try and stop and start and go a certain way. You're a linebacker. You see something. You need to pivot. It's a little bit tougher for you. While it isn't as tough for the offensive player to know where he's going, just get to that spot. There was hardly any wind, and that's usually what can get you in a situation like that. So I would say it really didn't have much effect.
I had a hard time. This came up on postgame last night, and there were a couple of times where, like, showing either coach on the sideline is really the shot I noticed it in. It looked like it might have been windier than I thought it was going to be, but I trust you that it wasn't. It wasn't supposed to be, so I was surprised by that. But the way the snow was on the screen, it looked like maybe it was a little tougher. So it was a pretty decent day overall then, I would say, right?
Yeah, it was really cool, actually. I mean, you know, you say that now because of the result. It makes you feel a little better, I guess. But it was a pretty cool day, like, just to kind of see that picturesque view. And I think what happens there, Bulldog, is you know how this works inside that stadium. You've been there enough times yourself to know that when that snow starts falling because of the way the bowl is set up, kind of,
it
so
swirls
to speak,
around a little bit, even if it's
does,
not real windy.
And you can't, yeah, and you can't really tell, even when it's not that windy, but you get a gust and it kind of moves this way or that way. So it kind of starts moving around in different directions. So I thought overall, it was a good day for football. Really didn't impact these two quarterbacks. I mean, look at Joe Burrow, how effective he was. And, you know, lost in the Josh Allen incredible plays that were made. Dude was 79% completion percentage.
Right.
He was 22 of 28.
7 to receivers, again,
right,
if you want that.
Yeah.
But yes.
But, yeah, I mean, Sal, it's almost like, I think maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago when he was just emerging as this player that he's become fully formed, we might have spent 2 hours talking about the throw to Shakir for the touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it didn't come up last night on our show, and it hasn't come up yet today until I just said it. And it's like, I hate to cop to taking it for granted, but, you know, yep. It happens so often. That throw is ridiculous. It's not like the hardest degree of difficulty, I think, if you just watched it live. But, like, looking back at it, what he does is preposterous, I think.
Yeah, let me give you my perspective on that play from my vantage point, actually. You know, as seen that play enough, it reminded me a lot of the Ravens week one game, actually, when he did the same thing on fourth down, it got tipped, and it was caught, right, by Keon Coleman. At that point, I think Josh knows he has to just throw the ball and make a play. It's fourth down, right? I mean, there's no living to fight another play. There's no throwing it out of bounds. You got to make a play. And when he threw the ball, I looked, and I'm telling you, in real time, Khalil Shakir was not turned around. Like, his head was not looking at the football. So I thought after he caught it, there's no way. Like, how did that happen? I went back and watched it. I put a screenshot of it up today. And I circled where the football was and showed where Khalil Shakir was. And sure enough, he was not looking at the football. And in fact, there was a defender between him and the football.
Right.
So Josh throws it. There is an argument to be made that Josh was trying to hit Tyrell Shavers in the back of the end zone. I don't know if he threw it hard enough or high enough. But certainly he was there and in that trajectory and in that window if Khalil Shakir is not there. Shakir then jumps in front of it. Just like in the week one, he's trying to hit Knox. Knox deflects it, and then it goes to Keon Coleman, right? Here, I think he was throwing it maybe to Shavers. I don't
right.
know.
I had noticed this.
Can't really tell.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, and give Shakir a lot of credit. The minute his head got around, that ball stuck to his chest, and he grabbed it. Like there's also a bit of an art to these receivers having to do that with Josh. Like they have to know when that at any moment that ball can be on you, whether you're looking or not looking, and you better be ready for it. I think that's a part of this too when he makes plays like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're highlighting Shakir here. Maybe it's as great a play by him as much right. as I'm loving up the throw. And yeah, late hands, is that what they call it? Like, in yep. this case, Shakir didn't have his head around, so there was no needing to pretend, right? But you'll see right. guys, when the defender has their back turned, wait until the last moment to put their hands up, because obviously you put the hands up, that's a clue for the defender to try to, you know, get their hands in front of their hands and create a pass breakup. So, yeah, I guess great job all around then.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously it was a critical play in the game because a lot of them were, but it was just one of those plays all game where – you know, Josh had to be at his best, and I wrote today at Arrow Up, Arrow Down, that or last night, and today you can read it, but Josh Allen is the reigning MVP, and he played like the MVP yesterday. Like, that's how MVPs play, and when you are the best player in the sport, or arguably the best player in the sport, however you want to term it, those are the performances you need that separate you and your team from the other team. You know, this isn't Pee Wee or high school where the gap in talent from roster to roster can be massive. That's not the case in the NFL. You know where the gap is in talent in the NFL? It's at the top end of the one or two players that make a difference. And that's where a guy like Josh Allen can make a difference in a game like that, and he did yesterday.
So as much fun as we all had, 8:44 left. Cincinnati leads by 10 after the Gesicki touchdown. He had a big game for the Bengals. I mean, I already asked you about the snow. What was the crowd like in this game yesterday? Did it evoke for you memories of that playoff loss in the snow as well? I wonder what it sounded like in there with 8:44 left. And to that end, both Allen and McDermott early in their sessions last night made references to how the fans didn't leave, which was, for me, a little odd because normally they wouldn't, and it's a 1 o'clock game, unlike the opener. But it also sounded to me like maybe especially Allen has been carrying that around for 3 months.
It did to me, too. But, you know, I guess, hey, if that's what bothered him, that's what bothered him. But, you know, I think that they wanted to recognize the fact that, you know, it's not – that the game is never over and you keep playing and, you know, they have a shot to win no matter what. So that being said, for me, yeah, the beginning of the game was, even for me, heck with the fans in the stands, I'm sure the same way, but it felt a lot like that playoff game a few years ago. I mean, it looked the same. The uniform colors were the same, right? Aesthetically, the snow is falling and bam, there go the Bengals right down the field and score. And there go the Bengals again, right down the field and score. Three straight touchdowns. It's 14-3 early. I went back and looked in that game against the Bills. It was 14-0, the playoff game. And then the Bills scored. It was 14-7. I mean, in this one, it's 14-3. Bills were actually down even further earlier in the game than they were in that game. And then it was 21-11. And then, of course, down 10 in the fourth quarter. But again, just like I felt in the Ravens game, this is not a great defense. You can make something happen here if you just get a stop. Just get a stop, and you never know. And it's a great lesson in just keep playing. Just keep playing because you're going to take some body blows, and they took a lot of them. But, man, if you just get that one stop, that one big play, you can turn things. And actually what it reminded me of a lot of ways, guys, was the Taron Johnson pick six against the Ravens when it's just that one play where you see something happen and the crowd just absolutely erupts because they have been waiting for something to happen. And now they're in the lead. And oh my God, what did I just watch? Are you kidding me? And that was a lot of, you know, what it was like on the field yesterday watching that game.
Allen up to 77 touchdowns, or is it even more than that after yesterday? I don't know. I just love looking at that list. Tony Dorsett, same number.
I think he had one yesterday, so 77, yeah, because 76 broke the record last week.
One well, behind that, Ricky that's Waters.
That's a stat for you. I'll give you another one I tweeted out today. A.J. Epenesa is now the all-time franchise leader for defensive linemen in interceptions since the merger. He has four. No other defensive lineman since the merger has had more than four interceptions. A.J. Epenesa does.
Oh, wow. For the Bills.
It's unbelievable. Ron McDowell does have six. He played. All of his were in the AFL. So, you know, all time, NFL, count that. Right. He's second. But since the merger, it's incredible to think about.
Phil Hansen on that list somewhere?
He doesn't have four.
Doesn't have four. Right. Big one in the AFC Championship in Miami. Right. I remember Hansen for that. All right, Sal. So let's talk, I guess, about injuries with there being some updates today. What did we get today?
Very encouraging news today. Not only did the Bills come out of this game with no new notable injuries, Sean McDermott actually said that he does believe there's a chance that Joey Bosa could play Sunday. He left the same door open for other players who've been dealing with injuries, saying they're all improving. Terrell Bernard, Joshua Palmer, and Spencer Brown. Now, Cole Bishop did leave the game yesterday. He was the only official injury update we got from the Bills sideline, at least. But he was cramping, and McDermott said he should be okay. So for a team that's been so banged up this year, obviously, and every week it seems like there's something else. You know, last week in Pittsburgh, Bosa was the only one. You got through the whole game until that happened, and that kind of stunk, obviously, and they missed him yesterday dearly. But in this game, you go through this game, and no new notable injuries, which is really encouraging.
Yeah, that is really great. And I'll be really curious to see, like, you know, moving into this last month, just how much of a slow play, if any, they will use on that stuff, you know, because they're secure. Really, Sunday is the big tell. Like, do they can stay alive for the division? And I think you should strive for that. But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, don't rush Bosa, right? Because I know earlier in his career, before he was a Bill, there's a time where he had a hamstring and he kept playing and then he missed more time. And, you know, we joked around in the summer, put Bosa in bubble wrap until January. Well, we're to December. You know, you just want to make sure he's there, especially him, Sal, because, boy, when he's been hindered by the wrist and even without him on the field, it's the same story. They just have really not much juice at all getting to the passer with four without him on the field.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, I would say, though, they're not going to play him if he's not ready. You know, as much as it would be, hey, this is such a big game, we're still in the window here, we can do this. I just think that knowing the way this organization treats soft tissue injuries, knowing how Sean McDermott has talked about Joey Bosa, keeping him healthy, how important he is to this team going forward, the long game they've been playing, unless they're really sure that he'll be fine, they're not going to put him on the field.
Yeah.
So if he is on the field, I'm confident in saying that they only do that because they feel that he's ready to go and there's not going to be any sort of risk to further injury. And if that were the case, then I wonder if they held him back this week because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, maybe he could have, but we didn't want to do that this week. We wanted him ready for the New England game. So we'll see where it goes for sure. The other encouraging note on the injuries was McDermott was specifically asked about Dalton Kincaid, and he said he came out of the game really good. All signs are good moving forward, and he was in a good space yesterday.
Yeah, and I was worried about him, slippery field, knee injury on top of hamstring, And, I mean, I can't speak to how he felt out there, but he sure looked like he was moving well enough. You know, like he, with the video we saw early last week with the big brace on the knee, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a one-legged man limping around out there. Maybe he's just a decoy. The game opens and it's Knox, right? And Knox has this incredible game, but they used Kincaid like they mostly do, which is sparingly, but it was super effective when they did.
Yeah, he was only on the field for, let me grab the snap counts, 22 of 64 snaps. That's 34%.
I think it's 18 routes as well.
There you go. And Dawson Knox and Jackson Hawes pretty much split, you know, at the top end of that tight end chart, 35 and 34 respectively as far as snaps. He was wearing a brace under his pants. You could tell that under his pads. I'm not sure how big it was. It wasn't like super notable necessarily, but you could see it a little bit. And, you know, throughout the week, you see a certain brace. And then later in the week, you never know for a game. Yep. There's all different kinds of braces they can wear just to make sure that they're keeping everything stable and things like that. But I agree. He looked good running routes. Throwing him that bubble screen was interesting. He has to navigate through traffic a little bit there. So that was really interesting. And, you know, to keep him on the perimeter, though, was nice. So he doesn't have to take shots in the middle of the field. You know, all of the catches he made, other than the slant, was a one-on-one at the end zone. But then he had, you know, the bubble screen. He had the other one across the middle. He gets to the perimeter. He's out of bounds. So that's good to keep him, you know, upright like that. They didn't ask him to do a ton of blocking. That was more Hawes and Knox. But, guys, I mean, we said it all week. Tight ends, tight ends, tight ends, right?
Yep.
We said all week, this is a tight end game. Mike, to your point earlier about only seven, you know, catches to wide receivers, no doubt. Like, that's obviously a story. I don't think today is the day, though, to point to that because I think the game plan was just go to the tight ends as much as possible because this team can't defend them.
It's only ever the day to go to that when they lose, and then it's the only thing we go to.
Right.
No, nobody gets open. When they win, all right. They're running for 200 yards and stuff in games, and we still talk about it. But when they lose, it's definitely sirens.
Sal, not that it's our problem at all, but I don't know how aware you were of what was going on with T. Higgins in this game yesterday. But hearing word today that he's back in the concussion protocol, which is where he was last week leading up to this game, and hitting his head so severely early, and then again and again later, I could not believe he kept being allowed on the field.
Yeah, so let me tell you the perspective I had on this one, too. I mean, I was probably one of the five or six closest people on the planet to this play happening. If he doesn't catch the ball, I might catch it because it was right there, and I thought it was going to go over his head, and I might like have to reach my hands out. And I say that because that's how close it was and because I couldn't believe he caught it. It was a great catch, by the way.
Yep.
He caught the ball, but he landed out of bounds. And when he landed right in front of me, the sound his head made hitting the turf was really notable that everybody around me, staff members, there was a Fox Sports crew member there, there was a Bills sideline member, and we all looked at each other and went, oh, like, wow, like, geez. And then he stayed on the ground, and for a brief moment, I'm like, okay, yeah, he's not getting up. And then he started to get up, like, okay, and he sat up. And what was really the first sign of, okay, something's really wrong here, he pointed to his head.
Yeah.
He pointed to his head. And that's when they stopped the game. So this was not a case where, to my knowledge, it was a spotter from up top saying, you got to take the guy out. I mean, he was on the ground. When you're on the ground and you're not getting back up, trainers come out. That's
the
way the protocol
tent.
Is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm bringing trainers over. So they went to do that. The trainers came over and spoke to him. He got up. He walked over with them. As you guys saw, he went into the blue tent. Now, we're all anticipating, okay, he's out with a head injury. This is a guy, and immediately we're all talking about how he just came out of protocol, right? All of us on the sidelines are like, yeah, this guy just came out of protocol. That really sounded bad. It looked bad. You know, that's a terrible situation. He's probably done for the game. All of a sudden, not long later, oh, there's T. Higgins with a helmet on the sidelines. He's ready to go back in. Okay. Well, I guess he cleared protocol. And then later in the game, same thing kind of happens in the middle of the field. He catches the ball, gets up, same thing, and he continued to play. I said this morning with Jeremy and Joe, I said, I would not be surprised at all if we hear later today that he's in the protocol again, because that's what happened with Deion Dawkins when he went back in the game.
Right.
And then the next day, they said, you know what? He went back in the game, he was cleared, and then symptoms showed up, and he got put in the protocol. Well, guess what? That's what happened today.
I don't trust any of it. I just, who knows what's going on in there? The way that players pick other teammates up off the field as fast as they can to avoid the appearance of there being any sort of symptoms. I just don't trust any of it. Remember the sound bulldog and Sal that Marty McFly's head makes when it hits the pavement after he falls from that tree in Back to the Future?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Cringe-worthy sound. Mm-hmm. That is a cringe-worthy sound. The head on the
I honestly, guys, here's what I kind of compared it to for me was when, you know, we all grew up in a time period of hockey fights were the norm, and you watch the hockey fight videos and all of that. But then you get a little older and you realize, you know, what's happening there, and you understand, you're a little more educated on it. Then you go to a game, and when you watch a fight and a guy gets punched in the face really hard, and you're like, oh, man, I just can't believe I just saw that. That's terrible. And, like, that's how I felt on that play, to be quite honest with you.
Exactly the same.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being ready to go on that. I didn't hear you this morning, so I didn't know that it had come up. But and I also didn't know that you were right on the scene. It would make sense. It was right on the Bills sideline. So, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That, you know, hope the best for him, because that's, you know, week over week. And to have multiple, you know, incidences of hitting his head yesterday, man, I just hope for the best.
We'll talk to you Wednesday.
Okay, guys, you got it. Thanks.
That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Unless the Bills make a trade tomorrow, then maybe we'll bug Sal.
I think if I remember right, last week we found out that you can't make trades anymore.
No more trades this year. That's right. The deadline has passed. I mean, do you trust the concussion thing at all?
It's hard to say yes after what we watched yesterday. You know,
I feel like that's most games.
I think it's really tough. It's hard to find. I feel like I want to point out examples when it does happen. Hairston left the Houston game and never came back. Like, he went to the tent and went to the locker room and didn't come back. Higgins yesterday went to the locker room but then came back out.
I think probably you have to be in really bad shape to get ruled out, because the players want to play,
of course,
and the team wants them to. So I don't know. I just don't trust it. Benford in the playoffs. Benford, didn't he get a concussion against the Ravens?
Yes.
And then played against Kansas City and got another one?
With a concussion. Right.
Like, it would make sense. I hate to be cynical about it, but players want to play. The team wants them out there. Think about what Benford's absence meant in that game. But he got another concussion. Taron Johnson has had several. And, you know, doesn't have to be that he has to retire or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but everybody's incentive, except in theory the league's, is for the player to sit. And I think we know the seriousness of it is such that if it really were about safety, the players would be gone for a long time when they had a concussion. Right. Like, they'd be out games, I think. I mean, safety's supposed to be the point, isn't it? But it's not. I mean, it's nice to say that it is. Guys are going to play. It's a violent sport. And it's never, to me, surprising when you have something that looks suspicious like this, because I just don't feel like the league really wants that badly to sit players down when they have symptoms. I think they simply want you to think that they do.
They want the appearance of being diligent about it, for sure.
And I don't think they really have that benefit of the doubt. We settle for that as the explanation, but then this is the kind of thing that should probably never happen if it really is buttoned up.
Right.
Because it should have been obvious, and it just should have been an easy one. Again, I'm not in the tent, though.
Right. Yeah.
What's going on in that tent? Count to five?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but it made me uncomfortable watching the game. Like, he's a super important player for them, and that, you know, but just in general, it could have been a lineman, could have been anybody. It's like, wow, we're really doing this?
I trust the league in this area as much as I trust them when they tell us that Space Ref can't rule on penalties. Because, of course, they do all the time. You even had an announcer in two Bills games ago announce the penalty, then take it back during the announcement. We got to go to a break here, but when this happens, and it happens, it seems like in almost every game, last night in Kansas City, there is no foul. All right. Well, there was a flag down. Somebody called a penalty. We don't get to see it. There's no replay of it. There's no explanation for why it didn't stand. It just sort of disappeared. Because if you have too many penalties, announcers are going to harp on that. Hey, maybe this one, we just won't worry about this one. We'll just let it slide. Don't you think it works like that? 803-0550, Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. Football Monday on WGR.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did a Russ Bosa back from the hamstring, or, you know, you look at individual cases like that, it's not a win or go home type of situation. You know, you still have a strong playoff chance. Even if you don't win this game, of course, your chances at, you know, winning the division go down even further. I think I saw it at about 17% or 18% today. They want to go win this game and do everything they can and put themselves in a position that if New England slips up and we stay hot, we could potentially win the division.
Eric Wood from earlier, I have been kind of taking on the attitude yesterday and today that yesterday's game was not that important. Maybe I've gone a little bit too far. I mean, this would not have ruined their season or anything had they lost. Although we'd still be asking, like, if you will, the tough questions about them early, not today, because they got out with a win. But still, playoff chances-wise, it's really only Indianapolis. Like, there's eight teams that are 500 or better right now, and the Bills are at 9-4. So their playoff odds, which already were 90%, got better, but I'm not sure how much better they would have gotten.
It was
yesterday.
Not a maximum leverage game by any means for them yesterday.
And, you know, the division odds are pretty thin. Like, the Patriots will have to lose not only to the Bills, but to either Miami or the Jets in their final two games. The Jets game is first. At the Jets, and then home to Miami to end the season. Even if New England lost to the Bills and Ravens, the best the Bills could do there is tie them through, what is that, 15 games at that point with two left, and then you would still need New England to falter again. By the way, it was announced today that the Patriots game with the Ravens in week 16 is going to Sunday night, replacing Cincinnati at Miami. I had it written down today that the Dolphins are in prime time the next 2 weeks. They're not anymore.
No, nope, they changed.
They are this week at Pittsburgh on Monday night is Miami. But that week 16 game with the Bengals has been moved to 1 o'clock. I guess that's good.
Yeah.
Way more interesting.
Yes.
Patriots-Ravens.
Yes.
This
yes.
year?
By a lot, yeah.
By a lot.
Yeah. And especially for us, like even, you know, knowing that we need them to, you know, drop one of those last two, still, like it's going to feel much more real if we can all watch the Ravens beat the Patriots on Sunday Night Football, provided the Bills have held serve and kept winning, of course.
What about Baltimore now? It doesn't surprise me that they lost to Pittsburgh, even with what Pittsburgh looked like against the Bills. You know how the league works. It's not right. always the same matchups and just gate bounces. The Ravens got a couple of really bad breaks, it sounded like yesterday.
There were some tough calls. There's a fumble play where Rodgers is – I think a pass got batted and he caught it, and it was ruled that he had possession, even though I think the Baltimore guy came down with it. Ultimately, they kind of wrestled a little, so tie goes to the offense type of thing maybe happened. The more egregious play was a likely touchdown reception, I think pretty late, when they're down five mm-hmm. is when that play happened, and likely makes a catch, and just before he can make the proverbial football move, I guess, the defender got it out of there on him. And even though he had 1 foot, 2 feet, there wasn't enough of a football move. It's just one of those what is a catch plays, quintessentially. And I don't even know. I guess I understand the interpretation of the rule, but I feel like we've all seen a play like that be ruled a catch, which is maddening. But anyway, it they got hurt by a couple of plays that could have been big swings.
And there was a penalty called on a field goal attempt that the league, John Harbaugh says, admitted to him was wrong. And so it allowed Pittsburgh to keep the drive alive, and they scored a touchdown instead of a field goal. My guy Ben Gretsch, who was with the ship chasing team for a long time, tweeted today, "I still can't believe the likely touchdown got overturned. Ranted last night, there needs to be an element if a player doesn't, quote, perform an act common to the game, end quote, because he doesn't need to. Having the ball long enough to do so is enough." And then Ben writes, "Turns out that actually is the rule." And he shows the rule book. A player who makes, I'm sorry for this. This is where we just really hate our lives with this stuff. A player who makes a catch may advance the ball. A forward pass is complete if a player, I'm trying to shorten it, who is inbounds, A, secures control of the ball in his hands or arms prior to the ball touching the ground. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That seems right. That seems intuitive.
Yeah.
And B, touches the ground inbounds with both feet or with any part of his body other than his hands. Right.
Uh-huh.
And C, hold on, everybody. After A and B have been fulfilled, clearly performs any act common to the game. For example, extend the ball forward, take an additional step, tuck the ball away and turn upfield, or avoid or ward off an opponent, or he maintains control of the ball long enough to do so. So the rule book literally says you don't have to do that other thing. The step, the third step, reach the football move. Let's just call that.
Right, right.
Every announcer tells you now the football move. The rule book literally says you can still have a catch without that as long as you have had the ball long enough.
To have done it even if you didn't.
To not need to do it. Like if I catch, listen to this. Doesn't have to be me, right? I tried to distract you by the thought of me being on an NFL field. Let's make it, who do you want? Khalil Shakir.
Okay.
Khalil Shakir is open. Well, all right. Now, just Mike, this
really,
get through it.
You and your fantasy football.
What, this is, no. I got to just get through it. Khalil Shakir catches the ball in the middle of the field, and no one's around, and he decides just to stand there.
Doesn't make any moves.
Until somebody comes over and knocks the... He's gone numb. He's just standing in the field. He doesn't know what to do. He's caught the ball. He's just standing there. No movement.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour. with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Somebody comes over, knocks the ball out of his hands. That's a completed pass. Because even though he did not
make a football move,
he had the ball reasonably long enough that he could have.
And that's what I think is being asserted likely did last
night. It's exactly what that was.
Or yesterday afternoon.
And it's in the rules so that that should count. And they overturned it.
Right.
Not only.
They ruled it a touchdown.
They ruled it a touchdown. Clear and obvious. Hi, here's clear and obvious over here. Waving futilely to the masses as if that ever mattered either. Overturned. Despite what the rules say. Oh, my God. I mean, this stuff.
Pour one out for the Ravens.
What was it last night that made me? You had the offensive pass interference against Ferguson for Dallas on Thursday in Detroit, which was insane.
Right. Yeah.
There was something else yesterday. I don't know. I think it's most games. I think in most games, although maybe not Bills-Bengals, there's a play that you can just, like, being a reasonable person, go, there's no way that makes sense. Interference calls, holding, roughing the passer. Holy cow, roughing the passer. Watch an old game. You won't believe what wasn't roughing the passer.
Right.
Who was I watching recently? Washington and somebody. Just because we have an author coming up on Wednesday who wrote a new book on Summerall and Madden. And I've just been in the mood to listen to them lately and watch a couple of their games. It's tremendous. Which, by the way, Summerall never raises his voice or really, like, never shouts. And you never have a hard time hearing him.
Well,
should really probably say something.
All-time voice.
All-time voice for starters. That'll be on Wednesday at 4, by the way. Rich Podolsky, I think, is the author's name. So we'll make sure we know by Wednesday. The book is great. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Monday, 803-0550. This is WGR.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.